today on Life Talk.
I love the Word of God. I read it every day because I need it every day. How many of you need it every day? I gather that manna every day. I gather the manna. Children of Israel in the wilderness, they had to go outside their tents and gather the manna every morning, or they didn't eat that day. And God was showing us a picture. The manna was from heaven, and now the Bible is our manna from heaven.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeff Wickwire, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk. If you look back at many of the hymns written long ago, you'll find the common theme that this world is not our home. They echo the message of the Bible that we are only passing through our time on earth while anxiously awaiting our eternal home in heaven. We're told that the Old Testament saints were looking for a home whose builder and maker is God. And Paul the Apostle in the New Testament wrote of his longing to depart from this world to be with Jesus in glory. I think today's church has lost this focus and become far too involved in worldly riches and worldly things. So let's get right to today's message. This world is not our home. I pray that it will redirect our affections on things above and not on this earth. Let's go. How many of you realize, particularly in days like these, this is not our home? This is not our home. Are you aware of that? This is not our home. And, you know, I was praying this week about what to share and what to preach on and what to break open from the Word of God. And I really felt just directed in that direction to talk about how this is not our home. You know, the old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And I think God allows tough times to happen on earth. One of the things it accomplishes is it puts our eyes, the eyes of believers, onto him, because the things of earth grow strangely dim. There's nothing in this world that is attractive. It's full of hate. I mean, I love God's creation. Don't get me wrong. I marvel at it all the time. I'm amazed at God's creation, and I praise him for it. But I'm talking about the world system. It's ugly. It's full of hate, full of all kinds of things that are just revolting. They're turnoffs. It's just not good. And so I want to just talk to you today about this is not our home. And I want to turn our eyes upon Jesus today. I want to get our eyes really turned on Jesus today. Amen? So reading out of John 18, verses 33 to 37. And if you have your Bible, I'm reading out of the New King James. And, you know, Jesus spoke in King James, but we use the New King James. You know, what scares me is when I hear people go, amen. Jesus spoke in probably Aramaic and Koine Greek, and he knew Hebrew for sure. Of course, he's God. He knew all the languages. But anyway, John 18, 33. We're in the middle of Jesus' arrest. He is being grilled by Pontius Pilate. And it says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? In other words, did you get this on your own? Did you come up with that question, or did somebody ask you the question and now you're asking me? Verse 35, Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Everybody go, ooh, because, okay, you get that? And then Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Listen to Jesus' answer. You say rightly that I am a king. You say rightly. You don't look very kingly, standing there beat up, crown of thorns on your head, abused. All your followers have fled and left you alone. You don't look very kingly. But Jesus said, you say rightly, I'm a king. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Say with me, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Now, I love the word of God. I read it every day. I'm not bragging or anything. I read it every day because I need it every day. How many of you need it every day? I gather that manna every day. I gather the manna. Children of Israel in the wilderness, they had to go outside their tents and gather the manna every morning, or they didn't eat that day. And God was showing us a picture. The manna was from heaven, and now the Bible is our manna from heaven. We're to gather it every day. Now, here we see a historical account of what went down when Jesus was arrested. He was run through kangaroo court. Every charge against him was made up. He was crucified before he was crucified. They lied about him, slandered him. They huddled together in little groups to figure out what kind of lies they could tell against him. They threw everything they could at the wall until something stuck. And that's the way they were doing it. Now, he is before Pontius Pilate, a high up political leader who will, in just a few verses, order his crucifixion. And Pilate is asking him questions that I think Pilate had also heard rumbling around from others, and he was relaying a question because he had heard people say, Jesus is a king. This Jesus has said he's a king, and there are people who think he's a king. And so Pilate wanted to know, are you a king? And he asked him two times, two questions. He said, are you the king of the Jews, and are you a king? Twice. Jesus' answer to Pilate is startling to Pilate. It doesn't make any, you gotta put yourself in Pilate's shoes. He's a totally secular man. He's not religious at all. He's not Jewish, so he's not in Judaism. He's not practicing any kind of Old Testament. He is steeped in Roman gods. All he knows about God is the Roman gods, the pantheon of gods that they got from the Greeks. They just gave the Greek gods new names, but they had the same gods, Zeus, Athena, Apollo, all these others. And that's the only gods that Pilate knew anything about. So here Jesus says, he says, well, let me tell you, Pilate, about my kingdom. Yes, I am a king, and my kingdom is unlike anything you are familiar with at all. My kingdom, Pilate, is not of this world. Now, immediately in Pilate, he's thinking, okay, he's a nut. Yeah, I'm a king, and my kingdom is not of this world. It's not comprised of a weaponized army where soldiers are going to come in and deliver me from you and from the Jews. It's not the kind of kingdom you know anything about. And this was a head scratcher for Pilate, who would have told you that he knew about every kingdom that existed on the earth. And so what is this kingdom you're talking about, Jesus? But Jesus is telling him that he is a king, and he is a king of a kingdom that can't be seen on earth, that can't be walked into on earth, that is, in the natural. You must go by way of the king of the kingdom, Jesus. And if you don't go by way of the king of the kingdom, you'll never be in that kingdom. So there's all this king talk, and Jesus tells him straight up. He doesn't hold anything back. That's what I love about Jesus. He was bold with the truth every time, no matter the consequences. And here's what he said. You rightly say, I am a king. Well, any king, folks, has a kingdom. Any king has a kingdom. If you don't have a kingdom, you're not a king. If you don't have a kingdom, what are you king of? You've got a kingdom if you're a king. Now, I want to hold that thought for a minute. Speaking of kings, we've just gone through a grueling election that has left some people happy and some people sad. And we've likely got a mix here in front of me. And those watching by streaming video, we welcome you today, and probably some of you in your living room, you're either happy or sad about the way this election went. Tens of thousands of those who are sad and disillusioned are that way. One of the reasons are because they clung to the words of people that went on social media and on TV and on radio and everywhere, prophets who emphatically said that Donald Trump would serve a second term. Emphatically, thus says the Lord, he will serve a second term, a consecutive second term. He will serve 8 years consecutively. And they prophesied it. They predicted it. You know what? I counted 40 or more. 40 or more. And I'm not talking about peripheral, on the edges kind of people, although there were many of those as well. I'm talking about high up, highly visible, high profile, well-known, what some would call generals. I don't call anybody a general, but some people call generals in the charismatic movement. Highly visible people. And they said, in the name of the Lord, this will happen. And they said it starting from 2018 all the way up to the election. And so as a result, because it was all over social media and all over TV, tens of thousands, likely hundreds of thousands of people listened to that and fully believed it and put all their eggs in that basket. Now, I'm not going to go political on you. I want you to hang with me a minute because you need to understand a biblical truth. And that's my calling, to give you a biblical truth. I'm not going political on you. If you're sad about the election, I get it. If you're happy about it, okay. I'm not here to focus on that. But I am here to give you a truth we need to understand about prophecy. The words of these people, male and female, left no wiggle room at all. It wasn't like, well, he might, or maybe, or some other nebulous, vague thing. No, it was emphatic. And now, the reason I'm addressing this as I get into this message is, believe me, it's going to end on a high note. Amen? I promise you. But the reason I'm addressing it is because now that it didn't happen, some of these same leaders are blaming you, blaming the church. And that's when I get in here, because I'm a shepherd, and I don't want to see the church beat up for something that the church had nothing to do with. Okay, so here's the truth I want to bring you. Some of them are saying, since the prophecies didn't come true, they're saying that it's the church's fault that they didn't support their candidate. Others are saying that Trump won, but it was stolen. Others are saying it's due to lack of faith. Always lack of faith. Always lack of faith. Whatever you happen to believe, I want to give you a bigger picture from a biblical perspective. Let me give you an indisputable fact from the Bible. Are you ready? Are you ready for a Bible fact? Let me give you a Bible fact. When God speaks a prophetic word saying that something will happen, no demon in hell or man on earth can stop it.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
When God speaks, now we're talking about God. See, another thing that bothers me about this is prophecy is being cheapened. When you say something emphatically, in the stead of God, in the first person, thus says the Lord, and you bring God into it, and then it doesn't happen, and then you say, well, it's this fault, and the church's fault, and lack of faith's fault, or some other fault, or it would have happened, you're cheapening the whole concept of Bible prophecy. Because when God speaks, folks, let me tell you, no demon in hell or man on earth, no political ruler, no political party, no shenanigans, no nothing can stop it from coming to pass, because God said it. And is God not bigger than all circumstances? Is he not bigger than all men? I mean, is he literally hindered? No. When he says something emphatically, for instance, let me give you, for instance, when Daniel the prophet predicted, let me put it another way. Daniel the prophet predicted the rise and fall of four major world empires. Daniel the prophet predicted the rise
and the fall of four major world empires, including which nation would displace and replace the next. Now follow me. The Babylonians, and Daniel was living among the Babylonians in the Babylonian captivity. They're the first one that Daniel predicted, prophesied about. Daniel said that Babylon was going to fall. And Daniel said it would be replaced by the Persians. And then he said the Persians will be replaced by the Greeks. And then he said the Greeks will be replaced by the Romans. Bang, 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 bang. Emphatically. And by the Spirit of God, he even described the characteristics of these nations, right down to the personality of the rulers that would head them up. And his predictions took centuries to unfold. But he nailed four major world empires in one chapter. And sure enough, against all odds and centuries of time, it went down just like he predicted, just like he foretold, just like he prophesied. Don't you know there were a million and one things that could have gotten in the way of that coming to pass? But nothing did. Nothing succeeded. They unfolded one after another. The Persians took the Babylonians. The Greeks took the Persians. The Romans took the Greeks. Just like he said. Just like he said. Another example, God spoke through the prophets that his only begotten son would be born in Bethlehem, would become a Nazarene, would be a light to the Gentiles, would be betrayed for not 20 pieces of silver, not 10, not 40, 30. Zechariah, centuries before Judas turned on Christ. That he would die on an instrument of execution unknown to the prophet or to anybody in his day when he predicted it. The cross didn't exist. When the psalmist David wrote Psalms 22, they have pierced my hands and my feet. The cross didn't even exist. He'd be buried in a rich man's borrowed tomb. Who in the world could have orchestrated Joseph of Arimathea following Jesus? And then when Jesus dies, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man who had bought a tomb for his own burial, said, can I put Jesus in there? The prophets had already foretold that centuries before. How do you orchestrate that? You're either real right or you're real wrong. Against insurmountable odds, it all happened regarding the life and death and burial and resurrection of Christ, just like the prophets said. But this did not happen with the prophets that predicted a second term for President Trump. As a result, tens of thousands of Christians that believe them are disillusioned. And my suspicion is many are drifting from the faith who are really young in the faith, newborns, because they go, well, if that wasn't true, what is true? That's what bothers me. Now, you know that I believe prophecy is true. Lord, we just had prophecy. It's almost like the Lord did that so that you could see. I believe in prophecy. But I also believe in just telling the truth. The bottom line is, if it didn't happen, they prophesied out of their own spirit, not God's. And it's nobody's fault but their own. How dare they go banging up and beating up on the church? Because if God said it, it would happen. Moses wrote, this is the way to know. If the thing that he, a prophet, prophesies doesn't happen, now I'm reading the Bible here, it is not the Lord who has given him the message. He has made it up himself. You have nothing to fear from him. Bottom line, if God had predicted it, it would have happened no matter what men or devils did. And so if something is prophesied true, I'm going to point it out and say, look at that, that was true. But if it's false, I'm going to say that was false. And everybody else should say it too. And you know who else should say it? They should say it instead of beating up other people. Or, you know, looking to play the blame game. Reminds me of Adam and Eve. Remember when Adam and Eve fell? The devil was involved. As soon as God found Adam, he said, the woman you gave me, she made me do it. First blame game in all of history. And when God turned to the woman said, the serpent did it. He made me do it. There's this huge blame game. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the devil. And God blamed them all. You're all culpable. And that's the way it is with this. So I just don't want to see real prophecy compromised or diluted or the understanding of it watered down. If God says a thing, listen, how many of you believe Jesus is coming back? Why do you believe it? Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that he's going to come in the sky and you're going up? Why do you believe it? Because prophets in the Bible have told us so. Well, if we're going to question, well, sometimes you hit it and sometimes you miss it, then I'm starting to wonder if the rapture is really going to happen. Because, hey, sometimes you don't have a perfect batting average if you're a prophet. No. When God says something in the Bible, it's going to come to pass. Jesus is coming back. Now, that said, I came today with a word of encouragement. Everybody say, praise God. I want to look at two things we need to remember in order to put our minds off of distracting politics and onto why God has left us on this planet as believers. Amen? The first thing I want to point out is, I've already said, this world is not our home. We've got to keep that in mind. No matter what the kings or kingdoms of this world do, this world is not our home. It's a temporary pit stop on the way to heaven. We're in a temporary hotel. It's like we've rented a hotel, but we're not living in the hotel forever. We're only here temporarily. One day we're going to check out of this hotel and go to the place where we will live forever and forever and forever and forever. As born again, blood-bought Christians, we serve a king and we serve a kingdom that transcend all the kingdoms of this world. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, and since it's not of this world, neither is ours, because we are his and he is ours, and his banner over us is love. And if we have been adopted into the family of God, when Jesus said, this world is not my home, he meant that includes all of those who follow him. We're only passing through, and it's a blink in time. It's a blink sandwiched between two eternities. The Bible says, listen to what the Bible says about you and me. He, God, rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son. The moment you were saved, you changed both kings and you changed kingdoms on the spot. Satan is the evil taskmaster that we once served. But when we got saved, we got delivered from his power, delivered from his rule, delivered from his ownership. And we got translated into the kingdom of the King. The one who said, you said rightly, I'm a king. Well, we've been translated into the kingdom of that King. And so our ruler now and our savior now and our guide now and our healer and our peace and everything good and great that comes to us now comes from King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the King of the Kingdom of God. Come on, everybody. Now, what I want us to understand is when we changed kingdoms, we became citizens of our new kingdom. We became citizens. Listen to Philippians 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Jeff. My citizenship is in America. Yeah, if you're an American citizen, great. But you know what? You're not staying here because you have another citizenship. This one is temporary, but the one in heaven is eternal. You have an eternal citizenship in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, citizenship means we're under a brand new government. Amen? We're under a brand new government with a new king, and please understand this, new laws. Now, do we have to wait till we're in heaven to walk in the kingdom of God, to enjoy the kingdom of God? No. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in your midst. And how is the kingdom of God in our midst? In the presence of Christ. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, then we've gotten a taste of the kingdom to come. The Bible says in Ephesians, it's a down payment. The Holy Spirit living inside of us is a down payment of what is coming.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.